You're listening to Stateside. I'm April Baer. We like to believe that the internet has something for everyone, that the constraints and the hang-ups of the real world just melt away as we're out there online finding our communities. But growing up in Detroit, model and style blogger Leah Vernon did not see much reflecting her own experience. Last year, she published a memoir called Unashamed, Musings of a Fat Black Muslim. It's a story of how she learned to override people's expectations, both in real life and online, and find her path to Instagram stardom. Leah Vernon, welcome to Stateside.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm excited. A little scared.
There is nothing for the unashamed woman to be afraid of here. You start the book by saying, "Where I come from, women hide things."
Yes.
Why is that important to understand?
I think that's important to understand because a lot of my life, just personally, I have hidden things, especially there's a part in the book about my secret abortion at 19. And I had that for at least a good decade before I actually started talking about it openly. And the fact that was like eating me up inside, where I felt like I couldn't tell anyone, where I couldn't be unashamed about my decision. When I was finally able to say it out loud, so much weight was like released from me. And so I think it's important for people to be able to share their truths and not be ashamed about it, not hide it, because it's just so much weight to carry when we hide things. And I know a lot of marginalized women and individuals, we hide so much.
There have been a couple of memoirs that have addressed this lately. I was thinking of Kiese Layman's Heavy, where, you know, what is on one hand a contemplation of exteriors is very much an exploration of interiors. It's it must have been a very daunting subject to approach in writing.
Yeah, it's really interesting because like I never set out to be a memoirist, or I never set out to have my life broadcasted on the internet or in a book. I started out as a fiction writer. I always wrote like YA dystopian and like multicultural sci-fi, where I could kind of like live vicariously through these characters who were open and strong and all these things, something I can never do in real life. And so it's really interesting how I kind of shared something small on the internet when I first started blogging, and people were like, oh my God, we want to know more. And it just kind of snowballed into me giving a little bit more and being more comfortable, having other women who look nothing like me, believe nothing in what I do, be like, hey, like I'm not a fat black Muslim woman, but I have had an abortion, or I've went through a divorce, or I went through a messy period. And it's so amazing how like universal storytelling and narrative have become.
You paint evocative pictures of growing up in Detroit in the book. That's sort of the first few chapters. And you talk about how you and your brothers and sisters were brought up, and you were homeschooled and brought up Muslim, of course. Your early childhood sounds strict and riddled by, you know, problems that your mom was having with the men in her life, but also very fun in some ways.
Yes.
Can you talk about what you remember from those years and what it was like writing about them?
I think a lot of times, especially like with me talking about like my childhood and stuff like that, some people have been very aggressive with some of the reviews about my mother. And just for the record, like my mother did the best she could with what she had. It wasn't easy raising all the children she had with no help from any of the fathers. And it was hard writing some of the moments, because as an adult, you really are like, sometimes we forget the things that kind of shape us. And so me having to recall some of the stories about like my father like fat shaming me, or just other situations where I felt were inappropriate, it hurt. I cried a lot writing these essays. But on the other end, it was definitely a relief to finally put them out on paper.
Well, those obstacles are a big part of the early part of your growing up story that you tell in the book. You were raised Muslim, of course. Your mom's Muslim and raised all the kids that way. Could you tell us what Islam meant to you when you were, say, a teenager?
I think that I definitely, as a teenager, it went back and forth with it. I felt like initially I was very excited to wear the hijab. I was very excited to, you know, be seen in the world as a Muslim, as a visible Muslim woman. And then the teenage years hit where you're just like, what's cool? What's in? I want to kind of conform like everybody else. I want to be a thin, you know, white girl with both her parents. And, you know, I want to fit into the societal norm, right? And so that really tore me up inside, where it was just like, you can't really be who you want to be being visibly fat, being visibly black, and being visibly Muslim. So how can we kind of hide these things and not really talk about it? I was ashamed, honestly, to even say I was Muslim. And I wanted to take my hijab off many times, but I felt like I was not necessarily forced, but it would be an issue if I decided to take it off. And so you'll see, like, definitely in the essays, the evolution of me kind of fighting against the hijab and loving it, and then fighting against it, and then loving it, and not really understanding what it's about. But then that journey of identity, which we all can identify with.
There were so many difficult passages in and out of those essay chapters, talking about, you know, your struggles to get into college and to make it through college, alongside kids who had money and resources, and you're figuring out your own identity as a woman, as a Muslim, and as a black woman. What would you say kept you going during those years?
I constantly ask myself that, honestly. I always ask myself, why you and not someone else who grew up in the same exact community or environment? Why you? And I kind of go back and forth with multiple responses, some of which is, I don't know. Some of which are, I always had this drive to do more, to do something bigger and greater. And I remember always telling people, like, I think I'm going to do something amazing one day. I'm not sure what it is. It will probably be with stories, but I don't know if that's possible because of the way I look or because of the way I sound. And so I always had that internal fire and drive, in which I still carry to this day, in which I also tell baby Leah V that I appreciate you for having that despite the odds, despite the Muslim community telling you that you can't model because that's not becoming of a Muslim woman, despite your white coworkers telling you that, or the microaggressions that they show you because you are the only black manager in this field. You know, so I always had that drive, and I'm glad that I continued it. And also, I don't know, I take opportunities as they come. Although I'm a very scary person beyond popular belief, I still make the time to be like, you know what, on the other side of fear is greatness. And whatever happens, at least you could say you tried.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Leah Vernon. She grew up in Detroit and lives in New York now, and her new memoir is called Unashamed. The phenomenon that people on Instagram know as Leah V began as your marriage was ending and you decided to take this flyer on a modeling career because people were always complimenting you on your style. But how did that really go from being an idea to something that you were able to make happen?
I think, honestly, at this point, people like to hate on the social medias, and I understand that there's definitely some messed up things happening on social media right now and just media in general.
Oh, yes.
But I would not be where I am right now without Instagram. Instagram has given me a platform and a voice in which I never would have had without it. And so I always tell people, everything can be good or bad, but it's what you make of it. And so I had a Facebook. I was so anti-social media at the time. My friends were like, you need to get an Instagram. And I'm just like, I don't have time for any more than Facebook. I'm in school. I go to work. I don't have time for these social medias. And they were like, girl, it's so much drama on there. I'm like, drama? I like a little mess. And so I basically made an Instagram page, and I stumbled upon hashtags. And one of them was plus size model. And I'm just like, oh my God, she has big boobs, big hips, living her best life, getting flown out. They are beautiful. They are thriving. And I've never seen that before. And I'm like, I can do this too. And it went from the idea of seeing other fat, curvy, plus size, whatever you want to call them, women and individuals in the industry thriving. And I'm just like, there are no fat black Muslims in the game. So let me just use my grainy Android phone, start posting pictures. And people were like, oh my God, I've never seen this before. Like, I've not. And we went and just blew up from there.
Will you tell us a little bit about the evolution of your looks?
Oh, Lord.
I mean, were you probably doing a lot of your own styling in the early stages.
I was. No, I still do a lot of my, people think that I have like this whole team behind me and I have all these people just at my, you know, beck and call. And it's like, I do a lot of stuff alone and by myself and it still looks like, you know, Vogue magazine level. But yeah, I definitely style myself still. And because I have a very distinct style. I like boldness, color, neons, all of that. And so it's definitely evolved. I actually won't let anyone use any photos before 2016-17-ish because I definitely had my choices of styles and I wouldn't necessarily condone them right now. But I definitely give, you know, younger Leah V a pat on the back for making for being brave in those choices.
Your portfolio of hijab is just nothing short of stunning, both in terms of color and variety. How do you approach what you're going to do with each different thing that you're wearing?
Well, I draw inspiration from drag queens. I really, really love them, all of them. And just the fact that they have the feathers and the sequins and the contour and all the glam that comes with it. I'm in love with drag queens. And so I would be like, okay, this drag queen had this cut crease or this sequins gown. I need to like do something like this. But in my own, you know, Leah V, and so make it like, you know, my own style. But I definitely take inspirations from art and different eras, like the Victorian era, or I'll take some African print and like add that to something. But all the clothes or styles that I do have to make me feel like I am a queen. Like I need to feel as if a millennial queen will wear something like this. I want it to feel regal and just like, I want it to be a conversation piece. When people look at me, I want them to be like, oh my God, like who is she and what does she have on and what is the inspiration behind it?
I thought one of the most fabulous essays in the book was your essay on dating and coming to dating as a full-grown adult post-divorce, like that was really the first time you were out there playing the field. It was really, the way you wrote about it was very funny and very frank, but at the same time, just, you know, I could feel you feeling your own power. What was the biggest surprise to you when you got back out there?
Dating. It's a situation.
An ongoing situation.
It's always never ending. And it's really interesting. And I think a lot of listeners will probably agree with this. But when you go from whether you've been married for someone to a minute and or had a long-term partnership with someone and you just don't have that person anymore, it's like, wow, what do I do here? And I feel like I went through a good 6 months of straight messiness because, like, remember, I got married at 19 and I got divorced like 28, 29-ish. And so that's like a whole decade. And to go from, you know, little baby to like now I'm grown and I have like a business, to now I am trying to fill a void with men, and that's what I did. And I definitely added that in the book because I think that people need to understand that you're broken once you get divorced from you're in a long-term situation. And I was, searching for individuals to fill a void that they were never going to possibly fill. And so I actually, after, you know, being messy, being in these streets for a couple of months, I'm like, this is not you. And this is not helping. So you probably need to calm down and stop everything and focus on healing. And so I've actually not really dated a lot now. I'm just focusing on my work. Recently, I actually did go on one little date. And my friends were like, oh, my God, Leah, you went on an actual date? I'm like, I know. Are you proud of me? Because, like, people know I don't date. And it's very interesting now that there's a lot of different dynamics with me dating and me being a Muslim and dating. And people are like, oh, I don't think I should talk to you because you're Muslim. I'm like, no, I'm a human being. I still want to date people. And it's just, it's a very interesting dynamic being a plus size Muslim social media influencer who is dating. It's very interesting. I need to have like a book just about that alone.
So this book published in 2019, and it was really an amazing year in a lot of ways. 2019 was also the year that the world figured out the divinity of Lizzo.
Oh, yeah.
And it was also the same year that a show based on Lindy West's memoir Notes from a Fat Woman hit Hulu. Mm-hmm. And it's the same year that Rashida Tlaib got sworn into Congress.
Yeah.
What would you like for 2020?
Well, it's... how can we top that? Like, how can we possibly top all of those amazing baddies? And yeah, I think that what I would want to see, because I do a lot of back end work and I'm on set with like sometimes straight size, a lot of straight size people. And it's sometimes you'll see the front end being inclusive, but not necessarily the back end. So I would want to see more back end inclusion. So more like photographers, more stylists, more marketing people, not just having a token on the set and then everyone else on, you know, behind the scenes is white making decisions about inclusion. And so I would love to see more of that. I would love to see more marginalized bodies, whether that means queer, whether that means Muslim, dark skin, whether that means you are in a wheelchair or you use assistive devices. I want to see more of that in mainstream commercials and high fashion and beauty. We've seen some of it now, but there can be so much more. Like, for instance, I went on the casting call for a well-known beauty company. I wasn't chosen, but in the room of 30 girls, I was the only Muslim, the only fat girl, and the only like black girl. And I was like, okay, so this is how we're doing things. And so
the concern is they checked all the boxes with one person.
Yeah, but they didn't end up like hiring me. So it's like, you guys are I see you guys going in the right direction, but are we really, really going all the way and yeah. really showing that, you know, we want to be inclusive as a company in the front and in the back end of the business? And so I'd love to see more voices put on pedestals, more voices just in front, like as the main, not just like, oh, I'm a sidekick. Like, no, I want to see like the main faces of marginalized individuals.
So, Leo Vernon, what's next?
Well, right now we are looking into doing more events and tours next year, beginning in January, hopefully. I'm looking to do more modeling gigs, more like high level magazine things. I am trying to get signed to an international agency, and I have some other big projects coming up, but I don't think I'm at liberty to say right now about that. But it's going to be really huge. I think people are going to be like, oh my God, like I am dead. And the last thing is that I'm working on book number 2.
Oh, awesome.
And it probably won't be a memoir.
Are we going to get your science fiction book finally?
I think so. Yeah, I'm working on it. And so I'm a little scared. People are going to be like, oh, this is way off. But I'm like, I was writing this before, guys. So I am working on that now. I think it's a great story. And I think that people are going to really, it's going to resonate with people.
That's awesome. This book that's on shelves right now is Unashamed, Musings of a Fat Black Muslim. The author is Leah Vernon. You can find her on Instagram as LVernon2000, Leah V. Leah Vernon, thank you so much for the book and for your beautiful feed. It's just, it's gorgeous.
Thank you so much.
Arts and culture coverage on Stateside is supported in part by an award from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.